You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Save big at Menards and prepare for the summer heat with a new air conditioner from Denali Air. Quickly and efficiently cool your spaces with auto and eco modes to maximize performance and save on energy costs. Cool your space from anywhere in the room with 3 cooling speeds and a remote control. Save big money on Denali Air air conditioners. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, hello, coffee dog. Welcome to another episode of Confidently Obscure. I'm your host, Kelsey motherfucking Dara, here to serve you some truth, a little spice, a little pop culture, a little realness, a little adult talk on this week's episode. Ugh. How are you? Hi. Before we get into anything, I want to do just a really quick little bit of housekeeping. One of our very dear, beloved friends, Kane, who started at the same time as me as an intern at BuzzFeed, he was a little more quiet, but behind the scenes. But when he was on screen, everyone like paid attention. And he always did really incredible identity content around like being proud of who you are, proud of your heritage and your culture. And that's where like his niche really blew up. He moved on to take over TikTok at Amazon Prime Video. I've worked with him a bunch in the last few years. We're on a text chain talking smack about all the different like crazy reality shows we're always watching. And he is going through something horrific right now. His dad, who is nearly 80, suffers from mental health issues like dementia, essentially, and is missing. And he lives in San Diego, and his name is Quang Diep, is his father's name. And he has been missing for 4-ish days now. I think by the time this comes out, it'll be 5 officially. And we're just trying to put the word out there. We're getting all of our friends to talk about it. We're trying to post more about it. You know, we've called hospitals and things like that, and there's detectives on the move. However, the best way to help with something like this is to just visually get the word out and hopefully that someone comes across him. I mean, like, San Diego is a huge place. There's a lot of people there, and you would think, well, how hard is it to find somebody in a city that big? It's pretty hard. So I just want to put that out there. Also, you can check my Instagram stories if you need a better visual of his dad. So that's my housekeeping. Thank you for listening. Anyways, here on Confidently Insecure, we are always talking about things that we are confidently sure we don't know everything about, right? Which we're going to be talking about something I pretend to understand with money and the economy. But we're going to try and make it fun and cute and relatable and bite-sized. And we're casually like walking into World War III at the same time. And so I'm trying to just like keep things moving on their usual schedule. And we're just going to just, you know, we're going to do our best. We're doing our best to be aware while also trying to maintain some sanity. This past week for me, personal housekeeping, bing bong.
Housekeeping.
It was the athlete's birthday and he turned 28 and he's also about to leave to go back overseas for workies. You know, that soccer stuff really is popular over there in the UK. Good for him. So it was a good time for us to hang and do some special stuff. So I ended up taking him. He, in his big 28 years old, has never been to Disney or Universal Studios. And I was like, absolutely not. So I splurged a little, speaking of the economy and money, on getting us VIP backstage tickets, all access inclusive, blah, 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 for Universal Studios Los Angeles. And it was actually very
Cool. I've been Universal a million times, and I got to see it in a way that I don't normally get to see it. And it was fun to watch him see it all for the first time. And I'm like, okay, I guess I kind of understand why people say that about having children, where they're like, oh, learning the world through their eyes again is so fulfilling. And I was always like, but I kind of see it. I understood the athlete's childlike wonder walking around Super Mario World and Harry Potter Land, which then also inspired us to want to watch the Harry Potter movies again, which we've been kind of sifting through this weekend. We also went go-kart racing, and I don't just mean bumper cars, bitch. I mean F1 freaking style go-kart speed demon. Sign me up, Lewis Hamilton go-kart racing. These fucking things go so fast. And the athlete actually, because they strap you into these cars, right? It was us and a bunch of friends. And funny enough, like, our friends are very into this. Like, Garrick and Zach from Guilty Pleasures came. And Garrick is, like, a semi-pro race car racer. Like, he has a race car that he does for funsies on the weekend. It's crazy. And he brought his own helmet and gloves and everything. And Zach is just very competitive in everything he does. And obviously, the athlete and I are no joke competitive. And sure enough, me, Garrick's girlfriend, Sequoia, and Rick went for second and third. Okay, we spanked everybody. And it's very funny, like, these adult men turn into little children when they go into a go-karting place. Like, there's games in a like an arcade, and it was just a lot of friendship and fun time. And so I love celebrating other people's birthdays. Hippo's is coming up in like a week and a half, and then mine's in August. It's Cuckoo Nanners. The other fun housekeeping thing that I signed up for, which kind of goes along with some of the theme of our episode about like what's happening with the economy and monies and stuff like that. After coming back from Rome, and I think I told you guys this on the pod, it was like the first time I was genuinely bummed to be back dealing with everything that's happening in this country. Like, I was like, fuck. I mean, granted, every country has their shit, but right now just feels like extra heavy being here. And like, the trends I'm noticing and the places I'm seeing this world and the attitude going, it just was a real bummer. Not that I'm ready to like give up my citizenship or anything like that, but I certainly was like, if I'm not settling down and having children, like, I should definitely be using this time to travel more. And if I can do that, like, granted, I don't have a ton of disposable income, but if I can work wherever I go, I should be doing that. And so I signed up for this app called Home Exchange and Kindred, which they're both like house swapping apps, which you basically eliminate the middleman of Airbnb and you go stay at other people's, like, you basically just swap houses, like The Holiday, the movie, which y'all know is one of my faves. And so I've been looking at places, like, they have houses in like Santorini. I was like, what? And people do want to come to LA, despite my beliefs. They do actually want to come here and visit. And it's crazy to see how many places are open across the world. And I feel like if you can skirt around those cleaning fees and processing fees and app fees and still get to go travel and see the world, like, y'all should sign up for this shit. If you have any experience with Home Exchange or Kindred, let me know. Drop a comment below. Would you ever do something like that? Obviously, with security and stuff, I'm very, very cautious. But also, I feel like because you're so in control of the stay, you get to like pick and verify and weed out people. And yeah, there's like a whole validating system that makes me just feel a little bit safer. So that's the other thing I'm doing. And I think I'm going to boop off when the athlete goes over to Scotland and the UK overseas, that I might try to go visit. Like, I might go fart around and find out. I've never been to Glasgow, but I'd like to go see it. There's castles, and that's where they film Traitors. And I kind of want to go frolic in some castles and things like that. So if you've ever been, if you have recommendations, drop them in the chat. Also, I just finished watching this week's episode of Love Island. Spoilers ahead. If you have not watched Sunday night's episode, skip a few minutes ahead. I'm freaking pissed, y'all. I'm freaking pissed. Jeremiah and Hannah, really? Finally, after Jeremiah was finally being cute lover boy with Adriana, and Hannah was like, yes, I like Pepe. Pepe was like, what you doing when you get out of this place? And she was like, oh my God, you're actually like, want to make plans with me when we leave? And I still kind of miss Charlie. We all miss Charlie. Okay. He was so cute with her. But we are going to left Alima. Is that her name? Anima? Whatever her name is. And we're going to leave the Trump supporter, Austin? Really, you guys? Really, America? Do I need to download this freaking app just so I can help vote out the bigots? This is crazy. I'm pissed. I'm pissed. And for Ace and Nick and Taylor to do that to Jeremiah just because they didn't like the way... And I think he had so much growth with the Huda situation. Like, he realized it was unhealthy and got himself out. And then he finally found someone that was, like, his vibe. And then y'all are going to take that away from him and call it, like, moving too fast. I don't like that. Just because y'all are moving at the snail's pace. And Nick, you better figure your shit out. I can't. And freaking Hannah, harmless. Okay? We're really going to let... I just can't stand Amaya. Like, she's trying so hard to connect with anybody. And it's like, yo, why don't you let Hannah fall... I can't believe I'm talking this aggressively about Love Island, but it really pissed me off. So I'm a little worked up. I'm a little pissed. I can't. But Casa Amor is coming up in 2 days. And ooh, it's going to be spicy. I was hoping that Hannah would stay and they would bring Charlie back to Casa Amor. I thought that would have been such, ooh, that would have been good tea. And a big part of my like unscripted producer brain wonders if the producers kept Huda for the drama, because ain't no way with the poor hate that this girl is getting on the clock app and things like that. She just like her mental health. I'm worried for her, and we're learning a lot more about her. And I think America's feeling a little sorry and softer for her for like bullying her all of last week. But I wonder if the producers kept her because she's good television. And honestly, a psychotherapist stream watch. Like, I've been wanting to make more and more content around Love Island and, like, the couples and what I'm seeing. Especially because I'm nearly finished with my book. My breakup book, talking about all that stuff. That feels very applicable to what's happening and what I'm watching. IRL. So, that's why I'm all jazzed, okay? I'm friggin' bamboozled and frazzled. Okay, because then it also has me wondering, like, am I not seeing whatever the rest of America is seeing? Like, it just seems... I was getting worked up. I was getting a little hot. Okay, we're back. Hey, we're going to throw it to a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about the recession. Yeah, I said it. It's a big word. It's a big word that deals with banks and money and the economy and things that I failed to grasp in high school and am desperately trying to understand as we enter World War III what is coming up. And this is going to be a little crash course. It's not going to be a deep dive. It's not going to be, you're not going to walk out of this an economist. An economist.
Don't Google it.
But when we be right back, we're going to talk more about divvy session. Is it happening? Are we in one? Send help.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
So WTF is a recession. I was in high school during the 2008 housing crash / recession. So I thought, well, I surely I know a little bit about what a recession is. I just remember it being very tight with money, and like a lot of people lost their houses. A lot of people were struggling. This was the year I was graduating and going off to college. And I remember this like affecting a lot of people's choices of where they could afford to even go to college. But now that I'm an adult and I'm hearing the word being tossed around, I'm like, do I actually know what even is going on and what even the fuck is a recession? So a recession is defined as when the economy stops growing and starts shrinking for a period of time. So technically, it requires to be in a recession for the economy to be shrinking for two consecutive quarters. So like for 6 months straight, the economy has to sink for us to declare a recession. That is called negative GDP growth. But also, when you think about the society's recession, right? So there's like actual recession and then what we're actually living. Because if everyone is broke and panicked and like ordering less treats and not spending like they normally will, it's basically like being in one, right? So all this talk about, are we in one? Is it coming up? Like, what can we predict what's going to happen? It panics people and it almost causes people to be acting and living like we are in a recession. So think of it like this, like if money stops moving, people stop spending, businesses freak, jobs get cut, budgets slashed, more broke people, and then that just keeps spiraling and spiraling. And that's how you end up with a recession. But here's the catch I've learned is that a recession is often declared after we've already been living in one, right? So they don't make it official until some dude in a jacket with like a finance degree, like, yep, oops, we forgot to tell you things actually have been bad for a while. This is a recession. But you could be living in one or like living like it's leading up to one for a long period of time. So here are indicators, right? Because I've been seeing so much talk about the like signs of the recession, right? Like my friend Beatrice in front of the pod had done a TikTok about what the body wrap, like a bodycon dress, is like how that is an indicator of recession. And I was like, what do I just, am I so far removed from the conversation of math and money that I don't understand how a dress could be linked to the recession? But I digress. This is the conversation about indicators in pop culture that can A, indicate you are in a recession, or B, drive people to panic and think we are heading towards one. So luxury brand resale market explodes. That is the first obvious indicator in the fashion world. Like people selling Goyard Bogs on Depop, or like the real is busier than ever when you walk in. TikTok gets flooded with dupe buys and, you know, hashtag buy it for life products, where all of a sudden we're really interested in vintage and buy nice, not twice kinds of goods. Another indicator of a recession is job titles getting vague as hell, right? Like suddenly everyone's a freelancer or a consultant or a strategist. That often is code for I am laid off but thriving and a little bit in denial, like making it work. We're just going to keep on cooking and pushing, which is kind of how I live my life in a perpetual state of freelancing. I think I've been in a recession. I don't know if I ever got out of the 2008 recession mentally. there's also an influx of career coaching content during a recessive time where jobs are so scarce, aka scarce, that we're turning to content creators who are coaching people on how to apply, how to beef up that resume, how to become a LinkedIn creator, et cetera, et cetera. So another indicator is revenge spending turns into regret spending, right? So for instance, like post-pandemic, everyone was going all YOLO out with like buying flights and traveling and designer goods. And then now we're in our regret spending era of like, did I really need to buy that freaking TikTok couch? Like, did I really need to get that fancy bag? Did I really need a Labubu? Turns out Labubus are like part of recession indicating, and I'll get to that later. And now we're all searching like how to meal prep on $50 in a week's time, aka me. Also, fast food gets more expensive than sit down. I feel like I am seeing this right now crazy. Like, I was my jaw on the floor today when me and the athlete walked into a, how do I put this without giving away the name, a bread place. And we got like two sandwiches and some cream cheese to go, and then like two treats, like two muffiny treats, and it was $50 freaking plus tip was $60 something, and I almost regurgitated all my food up and gave it back to them and was like, actually, you could take this off the bill. I don't think we should have this. This is a bad idea. Chipotle raising prices, any like little indicator that companies are starting to add money to their dollar menu items, that's a good like, something's happening. Also, there's a tons of layoffs happening for us in the industry of entertainment and media. It has been happening. Jobs are harder to find right now than they were during the panini. And it's also a good indicator to look at jobs in tech, media, entertainment, because these are labeled as like future jobs, jobs that should be like abundant, that should be growing, that should be shaping. And to see that when those industries are having massive layoffs, that's like a, that's not a great sign. Another sign is that people start moving in together again, platonically. So I'm turning 35 this year. And if like the athlete and I broke up, I would have to 100% get a roommate, like either move out of this place or get a freaking roommate, because no way I'm going to stress that much to keep a 3-bedroom place in Los Angeles. Like, no freaking way. And I'm paying a really decent, it's not cheap, but it's a decent price for how much space I get. But even still, I'm like, damn, I found out that I'm paying $70 a month for trash. Like, in this complex, they charge $70 for a unit with 3 bedrooms. Despite how many people are living in it, they charge $70 a month for trash. Is that normal? Can y'all comment below what your trash bills are? Because I called the office and was like having them break it down to me. And I felt like I was trying to say like how absurd that sounded. And he was just like, yeah, we have to keep it fair across the board for everyone. I was like, damn, but that feels egregious. Y'all let me know. Okay. So if you were like me, right, and you lived through the 2008 recession and you're kind of like, I didn't understand it. I didn't really feel it. But now I'm understanding it and feeling it a lot deeper. Why is that? It's because we were young and already broke. Like, I thought this was an interesting point that I think the Wall Street Journal had written down, that they were like, you are already surviving off of vodka, Red Bulls, and pizza back then at that college age. Now that you've seen what it is like to make money and have money and spend money in a bigger fashion, now you're feeling it and seeing it for the first time. So if you are like me, where you're kind of like panicking a little, seeing all of this talk about a recession, that is why. Also, that recession was triggered by a housing crash and Wall Street greed. It was a lot more complex and not taught in school. So it can leave a lot of us now just not understanding. Even like, for me, I thought recessions only happened with like war or a stock market crash. So how do we understand it now, right? You have to watch the vibes of pop culture. That is like a very good indicator of what is to come and what is happening. Again, you are paying attention to what people are buying, what they are selling, how they are presenting the information for you to want to buy something. Are they focusing more on like get readies with me and having a lot more affordable products in their videos? Are they pushing like secondhand luxury or reselling apps, etc., etc.? Also following influencers who don't shame or like make you feel shameful for not spending money, I feel like is very important because, again, influencers are split into these two categories where you're either in the 1% where you're making like millions, you know, or you're like me where you rely on your own work and brand deals to come in to like stay afloat, right? Like I haven't started a brand of my own, right? There isn't like a product or whatever that I sell that is my entire business or like an industry, right? Or like a show or whatever. So following influencers that present the information in a non-shameful way too, like really weed out the influencers who are being real right now versus the ones that are still living a little egregiously, a little bit of outside of our normal means. I feel like that's a good way to get in like a good mental space about where and how you should be putting your money, right? Because that shit hits us subconsciously whether we like it or not. Okay, so another thing that I've seen a lot of people talking about is how much this generation is talking about a recession. Like Wall Street Journal did a whole article about everything being an indicator of a recession, but it really is just like showcasing that we are a fearful generation and rightfully so after everything we have lived through. Like they're saying, oh, Y2K was fashion, but now it's an indicator of a recession. And like at first it was a nostalgia. Now it's because like we're all broke. And I'm trying to find a way to reckon with like seeing people talk about like, yeah, we've been saying since 2008 that like our generation isn't going to be able to afford to retire. Like there's a reason why our generation is not having children. There's a reason why our generation is not buying houses. And also what priorities are realistic to even have anymore and not feeling bad for not sort of like following the norm, right? Like I think our generations, whether it's millennials, Gen X or Gen Zers, we're trying our freaking best to just keep up, right? When often still a lot of these companies and people in charge and like people in power are still a part of a generation that never had to live through this kind of stuff and like have this mindset and has very like boomer mentality still around what we should be doing as adults. So, you know, understanding that us talking about like fear of a recession in our generation, like pointing out indicators and like having these stresses is just understanding that like the collective anxiety in itself is the first wave of a recession. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay to be a little anxious for a reason. Like, we all are living through this collectively together. And it's also, I think, the first one we're living together as adults. So we got to stick together. Okay. We got to share information. We got to have like budget buddies. You know, that was something I had seen online about talking about having a friend that you just are able to talk about money with openly and honestly, like, cause so many of us still believe money is such a taboo subject, and having a friend that you can be like, okay, we're budgeting this week. Like, let's check in with each other. As soon as we have like the impulse to go out and, you know, Uber Eats or like buy something, let's text each other and decide to like stay in and do game night and like cook for each other, whatever. Just someone that you can have that real honest conversation with about money. And often it's not your partner because you guys have shared a mentality around spending and the way your lifestyles are lived, that it's a good idea to get like a budgeting buddy that is outside of your daily like closeness routine of money. So are we technically right now in a recession? Technically, no. They have not declared it yet, and it's nobody standing up and ringing some big bell like today we're in a recession. But the first quarter of the year, the GDP did shrink by 0.3%. That slightly meets, you know, the textbook definition of the economy going in the negative, but we need two quarters of that. So while we didn't hit them both, the first one happening the first of this year was kind of crazy. And I also feel like we were dealing with the wildfires out here and like coming out of the holidays, no one was paying attention, and it wasn't really something like we had our fingers on the pulse of. But now we're all kind of looking around like, are you starting to like budget your money out a little bit? Yeah, are you, jobs are, so and so got fired. Did you see that? Yeah, no, jobs are really hard right now. Like, we're all kind of talking about that. So another interesting thing that we can look at forecasting for a recession, right? So the leading economic index, stay with me now. I know this is boring and a lot of big words. It fell for 6 months straight and triggered a recession signal in May, but the board still expects slow growth, not contraction. So like, we have people that are watching out for what's happening, and they did see it and they called it out, but then they were like, okay, don't fear, but we are the people you should trust to listen to about this stuff. Also, the CEO Outlook Index hit a 5-year low recently, and many execs took that as a sign to freeze hiring and started planning a lot of layoffs. So again, looking at the markets of like, what are these big companies doing? If you're seeing a lot of conversation around like layoffs and things like that, that means that the company's already been frozen with their budgeting. That means they've already had the conversation like, yeah, no, this is bad and we have to do this to like save our company. Recession forecasts vary. Again, it's important to know too, like JP Morgan gives a 40% chance of recession by the end of 2025. Goldman Sachs puts odds only at around 35%. And some analysts like Moody's or Apollo see even higher odds, up to 90%, especially if tears persist. So understanding too that this is like, it's kind of like a sexuality spectrum, okay? It waves and it depends on who you're listening to, what research you're doing, but just to be aware, right? So yes, we are technically not in a recession, but paying attention to those things like the LEI, the CEO sentiment, and the GDP dip back in Q1, just good things to have your antennas up about. And I wrote down for us, because you know me, I'm a doer, I'm a type A planner. I figured I'd write down some budgeting hacks that we could all start to follow now that don't make you feel broke, but just start to change that mindset, right? Like, let's stop slightly spiraling. Let's try to be a little bit more practical. Let's get our budgets in check, because if we can start to change our mindsets now, it's not going to be so drastic when, if a recession does come. Okay, so this is called micro luxury budgeting. So instead of going like full on monk mode, we will budget small things that will feel like a luxury, right? So instead of trying to put $100 away in your savings every month, try just putting like $20 away every month. And that is something you can use to make you feel luxurious at the end of the month. If you don't need that money to put away for like a rainy day or whatever, you know, go get yourself a massage, or like, you know, take an Uber when it's raining, et cetera, et cetera. There is also something called the 30-day scrub-a-dub-dub, and I use Rocket Money for this, not Sponce. But I look at all of my auto pays and go through, and it labels out like what I am subscribed to, and I try to cancel at least two things. And I go back to just using the free trial version of those things, getting a 30-day free trial and seeing like, do I miss it enough to want to go back to paying monthly? Like, I recently just did this with Paramount Plus. I don't know why. It was like the app after the Survivor finale. I was like, oh, I'm not watching this as much. So let me try and cancel it. I also canceled it for like a writing app that I didn't need to be using right now, because I'm not using that specialty. So just try to go through and limit one or two monthly charges that you are subscribed to. Another very simple thing to do is just to be looking at your finances in a visual aesthetic way. Like, a lot of TikTokers right now are using a burn chart method, which is basically just color coding your spending. And again, like apps like Rocket Money or I'm trying to think, what's the other one that people use? I used to use Mint, but they got bought. Just something visual, even like a pie chart or a bar graph or whatever. Just something where visually you can have a feeling, a sight to be able to attach an emotional attachment. Because just looking at a bank account number, that doesn't do much for us often, right? Like, we can find ways to like justify those means if we're looking at a number. So try to visually get a representation of the way you are spending right now to see what your habits are and like what you can slowly change. I talked about getting a recession buddy, right? This is someone you do your check-ins with about your income versus stress conversations, your emotional spending, Anything you're avoiding, right? Like right now, I have been avoiding this $8,000 bill from the freaking ER from back when I got my rib brokey in February in Aspen. And I have been working on getting down with a company called Good Bill, which I talked to you guys a couple weeks ago. It's an $8,000 bill. Yeah, that's a lot of money. I should probably talk to my therapist about it. And that's another big thing, right? It's just naming the feelings, right? Like I wrote down accepting recession as rebuilding, right? These are not regressions. These are just adjustments. And if we start to get into the mindset now, when that time comes, it's not going to be so drastic and dramatic. It's a flex to be able to adjust fast, right? And just like put this in your arsenal of weaponry. Naming your feelings around money, which I am so freaking guilty of, dude. I internalize all of my stress about money. And it's one of the first things I talk about when I get a new therapist or I go to new therapy is I'm like, you have to remind me that I need to talk about my stress around money, because if I don't, I won't talk about it. And I will just keep internalizing it, because I, just to show you like how my thought onion works, I will go like, I am bad with money. What is that? What's behind that? What's the feeling behind that? I am bad at being an adult. What's the money? What's the mindset behind that money mindset? I don't deserve nice things. What's behind that thought is I am not capable of controlling my future. What's behind that? I am broken. What's behind that? I'm a bad person. What's behind that? I don't deserve, like, just so you could see how easily my financial relationship spirals in my mindset. That's why it's so important to just be like, okay, what am I feeling right now? Okay, I'm frustrated that the money from that check doesn't come in. Okay, let's break that down. Like, the money is coming. Okay, so what can we do to make things meet until then, right? Like, where can we cut back? How can we, you know, how can we make this just a feeling rather than like that constant weight that's always in the back of my mind, just like chitta chatta, chitta chatta. Recession is a reset, not a ruin. Okay, so we're prepping, we're doing all these little things now so that we can be our best, like, main character energy recession girlies when and if it does come. Also using this time to just like see what in your life no longer aligns with you, whether that's like a spending habit or a person or getting rid of some things in your place, maybe putting them up for sale, et cetera, et cetera. Whether or not you're like thriving or just trying to survive, remember, capitalism is the scam, not you. And we're all just doing our best, right? Okay. I feel like that's a lot, you know? Tell me below, like, what is your budgeting hack? Also, if you're not from this country, was this a very confusing or helpful episode? leave a note below. Also, make sure you're following us on the Instas at Confidently Pod. We're doing giveaways. Speaking of a shitty time and economy, why not get some free stuff? All it does is takes it to follow. Okay, that's all you need. And if you're this far already, why not drop us a review? Let's get 5 stars, okay? Because if it's not 5 stars, please don't do that, because I am sensitive and it helps us get seen. And we need to be seen in this economy, sister. Okay? Your girl could use it. Okay, that's all I have for you this week. Bye, confidants.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.